Warning.
Warning.
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker.
Chris Danker. Chris Danker.
It's time to step. That guy's great. It makes me look kind of professional too, which is pretty cool. Into the danger zone we go once again. Episode number 4. Still just a little baby Goo Goo Gaga podcast. But before you know it, she'll be all grown up. It is a foggy Sunday night here in the Midwest. I've been thinking about this episode literally all week long. I'm not really going to get a chance to do something like this again for a little bit because I've luckily got some really dope guests lined up for the next couple weeks. So it just kind of felt like the best time to do a solo dolo episode. And we're going to talk about a good handful of things on this episode. How I got into wrestling, how I got into YouTube, how broke I was when I started, the time I almost quit, my mental health journey slash struggle, and how wrestling intertwined with all that. We're going to get into it today, man. We really are. I've said this a couple times before, but it's, you know, I named this thing Into the Danger Zone for a reason, right? You know, if I encourage or expect my guests to dive into certain things and to open up and all that, then I got to be willing to do the same. You know, and I am. And that's what today's episode is. I wasn't 100% sold on doing this at first, actually, but Michelle kind of convinced me to really just open up about some stuff and talk about things I haven't talked about before. Also, part of this idea was, funnily enough, inspired by Stone Cold's podcast. I think it was this just past week. He did an episode where he pretty much just like interviewed himself, and it gave him the opportunity to talk about things that he may or may not normally get to talk about. So I thought that was really cool. And I'm definitely no Stone Cold Steve Austin. Or am I? What? but we're gonna get into it today, is all I can say. And I'm hoping you guys enjoy this episode. Last week's episode with Adam Cole was the most downloaded episode so far, which is really no surprise, because that dude is incredible and a sweetheart. I really, really enjoyed that episode. Big shout out also to all my new patrons from this week. A lot of awesome new people have joined the Patreon community, and I actually have a special shout out to all of my current patrons at the end of this episode, just as a thank you for all the support. I'm really excited about the Patreon, if I may talk about it for a quick second. I honestly feel a certain type of way, just 100% transparent, about charging people for things. I've done a lot of free content in my life. The podcast is free everywhere. I have thousands of videos and content across YouTube. Everything I've ever done has been free. So if there was ever going to be any sort of premium content, I knew it had to be worth it, right? And I want to give people bang for their buck. And honestly, I feel really good about the Patreon tiers we have right now. If anybody's got feedback on them, I'd be glad to hear it. We got $1 a month that gives you access to the full video versions of every single podcast, every single episode. The $5 tier is the Dark Match tier, where myself and my guests react to random wrestling segments and matches. Those release every single Monday alongside this podcast. So hey, today, new one, and it's just me. So I went back and watched, bear with me now, I went back and watched the infamous world-renowned Melina versus Alicia Fox match, made famous, of course, by Cameron during her Tough Enough appearance with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just a fun watch-along of one of my personal favorite wrestling memes in existence. So that's patreon.com/ChrisDanker to sign up for that. And, of course, Danger Zone Pod on Twitter, Danger Zone Podcast on Instagram, and on YouTube, just look for a guy called Dankops. So, all right, enough stalling. Enough plugs, Chris. You stupid, handsome piece of trash. I made this bed, and now it is time to lay in it. Chris Danker, it's finally time to step into the danger zone. That sound means it is go time. My guest today is a full-time content creator, live streamer, podcaster, recording artist, and most importantly, dog dad to Harley and Grayson. He wears a lot of hats, and he looks damn good in every one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Danker. Should I call you Dank or Dank Ops or Chris or Danger or what? Aloysius, what's this Aloysius thing? You know, I do get asked sometimes what I prefer to be called, and I honestly don't really have a preference. Like, friends have been calling me Dank since middle school. If you call me Danger, I kind of assume you're like a wrestling fan and that you've seen my content, so that's always cool. Chris is also fine. You know, my mom actually called me Bud growing up, but that's only for her. So. Well, please give my best to your lovely mother, Chris. I'm curious, where did the Dank Ops name come from? That one's an easy and boring story. Like I said, Dank had been a nickname of mine in real life. So I was getting ready to create this YouTube channel, which was going to be focused around Call of Duty, because that's all I was playing at the time. And the most recently released Call of Duty game at that time was Black Ops. So it was going to be Dank doing Black Ops content, Dank Ops. I had zero foresight at the time. I didn't think like, hey, maybe I won't just be playing this one game forever. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of glad I didn't name it like COD God 405 or something that I definitely would have had to change at some point. But Dank Ops now just kind of feels as normal as any other name or nickname people call me. Right. So why create the YouTube channel in the first place? What was the motivation for that? Wow, that's a really great question, man. You know, you're actually really good at this. You should do this as a job. So the YouTube stuff started at a very interesting time in my life. So for background context, from 2005 to like 2010, 2011, I was in a music group called Odyssey. We started out in Philly. We did some really cool stuff. We performed as much as we could. We had an America's Got Talent appearance. We opened for Boyz II Men, Flo Rida, a bunch of other people. Like, we were just hungry, and we were just getting it, you know? So, side note, I would actually very much like to have them on an episode. I think that'd be a pretty eye-opening conversation. Anyway, so 2010, 2011, I ended up leaving the group. I wasn't really happy with what we were doing. I did a little bit of solo music for a bit, but at some point, I was like, I need a break. Like, I was in the group for 6 years with those guys working on shit almost every single day. I just felt like my heart wasn't really in the solo shit at that time. So I was like, I'm going to reassess my situation. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to figure some shit out. I was living in Philly with my girlfriend at the time, with the girl I was dating at the time. Didn't have a lot of money. Had pretty much no money. and I had just recently around that time started watching these Call of Duty gameplays on YouTube. I was watching X-Jaws and Woody, and I'd be like, oh man, these guys, you could record your gameplay? Like, what? How you do that? That's the coolest thing in the world. And I was like, oh, you can make money on YouTube too? Oh my God. Like, it absolutely blew my mind. I'm finding all these things out, and I was kind of like, this could be something cool. So I'm gonna try this for a little bit. I'm going to make some videos and I'm going to make a ton of money, right? And I'm going to build a fan base and keep it moving. I dead ass thought I would just upload like 2-3 videos and start making bank. And then that was not the fuck at all what happened. Not even a little bit. But I kept doing it because I wanted an outlet to be creative somehow. I was not gonna go back to working at Reebok or the jewelry shop or Domino's or the panini shop or let me think any of these other places that I've been working at since I was 15 years old. I was done with that shit. I was just done. And I told my girlfriend and other people at the time, like, hey, just give me a little bit of time. I'm working on some shit. I'm going to make it work. I don't know how, but I'm going to make it work. So I was doing voiceover work on the side, graphic design stuff on the side, anything that would allow me to be home and focus on the creative stuff as much as possible. I should note, too, that in my mind, all of this stuff was temporary because pretty soon I was going to be a world famous entertainer anyway. That's what's going on in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be the next Timberlake. And this is all just temporary anyway. That's legit how I felt at the time. But I started YouTube as a means to an end, right? As a middle point. However, as time went on, it became quite literally my like entire life. So when did that change happen? When did it go from this is a side thing that's not making money to, oh, okay, this could actually be something? You know, your voice is making me feel a certain type of way, I gotta say. It's funny because it's an overnight success story, quote unquote, that took 3 years to happen. The initial run of Call of Duty content that I did never really popped off. Like, I got a good 15, 20,000 subscribers from primarily that type of content. But it was all in, you know, very small increments. My paychecks at that time could buy at max a couple of large fast food meals, you know, a couple of large McDonald's Big Mac meals. I'm talking like 50, 60 bucks on a good month at that time. And then a game called WWE 2K15 comes out in like late 2014, early 2015. And I was like, hey, you know, I like wrestling games, whatever. This was, I think, the first one to come out on the new consoles, too. So it's got this new career mode. I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll do a couple videos. I'll do a couple videos on the game, throw them up on the channel. Why not? You know, the COD stuff really wasn't doing shit. And I was actually starting to hate Call of Duty at this point. So I was just fuck it, right? The first video I did on 2K15 got more views, I think, than a lot of my previous videos before that. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Let's try this career mode thing out. So I put out a career mode episode. Same thing. Like 5,000 views in the first day or something like that, which at the time was insane for me because I was getting like barely 1,000 views a video before that. And literally from that day forward, not to be dramatic, but literally from that day forward, nothing was the same. Nothing was the same. Drake Aubrey Graham. It's like, I don't think that's on the album. That's not really the point. But literally from that point on, Dank Ops was, you know, a WWE gaming YouTube channel just from then on, whether I wanted it or not. And then 100,000 subscribers comes not too long after that, then 200, 500, etc. And right now, I think we're sitting at like 1.4 million or something. And none of that happens. None of that happens without that decision to just be like, why not? Like, why not try something a little bit different? And like I said earlier, from that point on, it became my entire life. Like, I pushed music aside to focus on it. I pushed acting. I pushed pursuing acting opportunities aside. I don't want to sit here and act like, oh, yeah, a bunch of people were offering me acting opportunities. Like, that definitely wasn't the case. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't putting the time into pursuing those things. A lot of the stuff that I had been really wanting to do for years, YouTube just started to become so hot so fast that it didn't make sense for me to focus on those multiple things. I said, I'm going to go all in with this, because in my mind, I was like, okay, well, at least I'm building a following. I'm building a community. So, you know, when it comes time to do the music shit again or the other stuff, I have a foundation already. So my entire existence became dedicated to building that foundation just as much as possible. Hmm. What was it about the My Career content that made it so successful for you, you think? Damn, that's another really good question. Wow, that's crazy. I think it was how seriously I took this fictional non-existent character named Chris Danger. When I was commentating the videos or calling the matches or whatever I was doing, Danger was real. You know what I mean? Like, he's a real wrestler. I talk about him like he's real. He has a history. He has a backstory. You know, I've done promos as him, and it really took on a life of its own. And as corny as it sounds from the outside, it's literally like just one of the best things I've ever done in my life, because it created a connection more than anything else. Like, it resonated with kids who want to be wrestlers when they grow up. I get to sneak in jokes and references for people that are my age so that they can enjoy the content too. But Chris Danger was just ground zero, the catalyst for everything. He's very much an entity of his own, I think, and very much a part of me too. There's Danger merch and t-shirts and all that. The only thing I have yet to release is an official Chris Danger action figure. People have been asking for that for years, but I have yet to find the right people to get it done. So I don't know if anybody's got hook up with like Cardona and his figure bros or something like that. Hey, you know, let me know. We got to make that happen. I want to switch gears for a second, and we're going to talk more about YouTube in a little bit, but you obviously need to know a bit about wrestling if it's going to be a focal point of your content. So how did you get into watching wrestling? So my first wrestling memory is discovering a VHS at my cousin's house, the VHS box cover of WrestleMania 6 with Hogan and Warrior ripping, you know, things off, and it's like, all colorful and shit. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this? And, you know, I watched the match, and it's these just unbelievable, monstrous sized, oily dude just like beating the crap out of each other with the colors and the fans screaming and everything. And I was like, what is this? And this is when there was like only 4 pay-per-views a year too. So I was immediately interested in it. But then I had to go to a video store and just pick from such a scarce assortment of videos. Yes, from the video store. Some people are like, video store. That doesn't sound familiar. I don't think we have one of those. Man, I miss the shit out of video stores, man. Going into like a Blockbuster or a Hollywood video. We had a joint called A to Z Video back where I used to live, and just seeing what was there. But how can you complain now, though, when you literally have everything you could ever possibly want to watch right at your fingertips all the time, 24/7, right? Like, it's so hard to complain about the times that we have now as far as the access we have to the electronics and all that shit. But man, I kind of miss that scarcity of being like, oh, this new movie came out or this new thing came out. I got to get there and make, you know, oh, the copies are out. Oh my God, I can't watch it now. And like, I don't know. There's something just fantastic about it. Anyway, Mania 6, Hogan versus Warrior was the first match I watched, the first, you know, big spectacular WWF event that I saw. And I was like, oh, these guys are amazing. And then I got older, and then they got older, and I found out that that's not the case. But that could be an episode on its own. So next question, Mr. Interview Person. Wow, that's quite amazing, Chris. Quite amazing. Hey, Chris, who's your favorite wrestler of all time? This is by far the most asked question I get, period, bar none. There is nothing else I get asked more than, who's your favorite wrestler of all time? Which means also I answer it all the time. But for some reason, either people forget or it wasn't properly documented. So you know what? Let's make this archive. Let's document it right here, right now. My favorite wrestler of all time is Stone Cold Steve Austin. As I spoke about my Mania 6 story earlier, I did grow up a little bit of a Hulkamaniac, right? But then he went away, and then Stone Cold came, and Stone Cold was the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, we switched heroes at that time, which was probably a good call. I always, always loved watching Bret and Shawn, too, whether together or, you know, in their own individual matches. They were, I couldn't look away. I just, even as a kid, even not really understanding just how good these guys really were, what they were doing, I was always like, oh, these guys, they're awesome. They're really cool. So those, I would say those three are my favorite of all time. As far as right now, there's so many people I like watching right now that it's really hard to pick just one. I mean, I'm going to sound biased, whoever I pick anyway, but you know, Cesaro, I think, is the most underrated guy in the world. I could watch Adam Cole all day long. Punk is back. Brian is back. You know, take your pick at this point. But documented, put it on the record, favorite wrestler of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin. What are some moments in wrestling that have stuck with you for better or worse? With Austin being my favorite, I think his title win at Mania 14, when Tyson was there and all that, yeah, when he was fighting Shawn, I remember so vividly. And it's crazy because I forget so much stuff. There's so much stuff I can't name or recall or remember. And I'm just talking about stuff from this week. But for some reason, I have just such a vivid memory. I'm sitting on my mom's bedroom floor. It's late at night. She's asleep in the bed. I'm sitting in front of this squiggly lined CRT TV because she wouldn't let me buy the pay-per-views. I couldn't buy the pay-per-views. But the way that, like, the cable box just in her room for some reason was set up, we got the pay-per-view channels. Like, you could hear what was going on, but you couldn't really see. Everything was just super squiggly and distorted and whatever. So I'm literally, like, it's a wave of pixelation in front of me. And I'm listening to Stone Cold Steve Austin win his first WWF championship. And I'm trying not to scream because my mom is sleeping. And I just have such a vivid memory of that night sitting on that floor in front of the TV with my mom behind me and just wanting to freak out because it was such an amazing moment. As far as other things that have stuck with me or at least stuck with me in the moment, I know that I didn't know how to process Owen dying for a little bit. I know that that was kind of at a time where I was figuring out that this shit wasn't exactly as real as I had once believed. You know, so there was this, and it wasn't as crazy as it is now, where as soon as something happens, you know, and it's confirmed and it's whatever. So it was a lot of uncertainty for a while. And I just remember that eerie feeling of feeling like, wow, like that happened to in something that I watch regularly. And like, what if I had saw that in front of my eyes? Like, I just remember as a kid being like kind of freaked out a little bit. And also, we talked about this on the Philly episode, the Mania where like Boss Man got hung from Hell in a Cell as a kid. I was like, what is going on? Like, there's some traumatizing stuff back then. But on the brighter side, I would say that I probably have more fond wrestling moments than I do negative wrestling moments, which I take as a good thing. You know, we talked about your voice a little bit earlier, how it's just smooth as a baby's bottom. Have you ever thought about being an actual wrestling commentator? Not really. At least not like right now. It's a very specific job, right? You have someone in your ear. The way that I do it in my videos and the way that I do it messing around when we're streaming or hanging with my friends, whatever, that's not the way I'd be able to do it on TV. You know, like I would have to change up a lot. I would have to do things a lot differently. So I think it would be difficult for me to to switch that up because I love doing the style that I do. I'll tell you this, though. Looking at somebody like Pat McAfee and the stuff he does has definitely made me lean more yes, probably, than ever before. I'll say this. Any wrestling company that knows who I am or heard me or at some point, whatever, in time, may be interested in working with me, I'm open to different ideas and possibilities within the world of wrestling. I've never been much of like a backstage guy, behind the scenes guy. I think I'm probably going to wait until maybe like mid-50s for that, personally. But like an on-camera role at a prominent wrestling company is something that I would consider should the time ever arise. You say on-camera role, but why are you not a wrestler, Chris Danger? I mean, I don't appreciate your tone, first of all. A very large portion of my life, especially middle school, high school, I was very undersized, very skinny. I wanted to play football so bad, just to give an example, but like I played basketball and baseball. It was kind of the same for wrestling kind of throughout my whole life. I was like, oh yeah, that could be kind of cool, but I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, because I remember my prime wrestling watching was Attitude Era and a little bit before that. So this was still when people were, you know, you had to be 6'4", 250 minimum. Things changed, obviously, as I got older with, you know, the different body types that are accepted in wrestling now. And honestly, I'd be dead ass lying if I said that there wasn't a part of me that has been like, yo, maybe let's just like give it a try for a little bit. You know, it's I'd be lying if I said that I've never thought that. I do think I'd be fairly good at it just because of my knowledge of it. You know, I've called it useless knowledge many, many times. I think that would be the only scenario where the knowledge of wrestling that I do have is actually useful. But if I wait too much longer, I might end up beating DDP's record for the oldest wrestling debut. But I'll say that they say in wrestling, what do they always say? Never say never. So I'll leave it at that. They do say that, Chris. They do say that. As the creator of Into the Danger Zone, you wanted to provide a platform for people to discuss a variety of things, one of which being mental health. So it is time for you, Chris, to walk that same road. How has being a wrestling YouTuber, how has being locked into the same role for the last 7 years had an effect on your mental health? How much time we got? Oh, wait, right. I can just go. So I've had anxiety since I was probably like 14 or 15, maybe. But I didn't know that. I really didn't know what it was till like my mid-20s. The biggest struggle for me, though, probably came around 2018, 2019-ish, which was only a couple years ago, which is crazy to think about because it feels like literally decades ago. But I was noticing I would be sad or angry or lethargic, which was very unlike me. And I started to weigh a lot of my self-worth on the success of my YouTube channel. So like when there would be days where I'd get lower views than normal, it wouldn't be because, hey, that just fucking happens sometimes. In my head, I'd be like, well, it's obviously because I'm trash. It's obviously because I'm terrible. And I would get very down on myself for not being further along in my career or in my life. And I just felt like all the shit that I was doing was just pointless. It's like, it wasn't fun. I got no joy out of it. Content wasn't fun. I was starting to literally hate wrestling. I didn't watch it. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to think about it outside of when I literally just had to absolutely make content. And it was at the point too where I had this upload streak going for so long, for so many years, And if anybody doesn't know this, I went, I think it was close to like 3.5 years without missing a single day of uploads, even when I was sick, even just like not a really healthy thing to do. And it was really hard for me to break that. It also didn't help that the shows and the games that were coming out were both bad. Like monstrously bad. And that shit went on for a while. Like, there's a couple videos on my channel, I think, too, where I actually say, like, hey, guys, this wrestling shit sometimes just is not it for me. Like, I want more, and I want to do more. And I felt like everybody just kind of wanted me in this wrestling video game box. When I know I have so much fucking more to offer. And that weighed on me really heavy. And it was actually around that time I started seeing a psychiatrist who was like, oh yeah, you're depressed. And you should consider, you know, some help with that. I was not anti-medication at first, but I was really hesitant because I was like, I can't be, you know, dulled or you know, all these other side effects that I heard about, whatever. I can't be tired all the time. You know, I got to be entertaining. I got to be able to record. I got to feel like myself. So I was definitely hesitant at first, but I tried a few different medications to kind of find the right shit to help manage the anxiety and all that. And luckily I did, because the difference between now and then is quite literally night and day. And that's not an exaggeration, quite literally night and day. But it absolutely 10,000% was not just the medication itself that made the difference. I had to work really hard to like look like for having lack of a better way to put it, I had to remember who the fuck I was. And it was an incredibly difficult process and a draining process, just to be like, you're a functioning human, you're quite good at what you do, the world doesn't hate you, everything's gonna be okay. But I definitely had that kind of toxic, men aren't supposed to be depressed, you know, we kind of deal with the shit type of mindset. And let me say this too. If you take nothing else away from this whole ass episode, please take away this. If you're going through some shit or struggling with like depression or just trying to find your way through, you have to talk about it out loud to people, to friends, to family, to someone you trust, or yes, even a therapist. That does not make you weak. It doesn't make you crazy. It doesn't make you a pussy. Like, you can tell people I said that. Feel free to direct them to me if you want to. People that go through every single day with a weight on their shoulders and that cloud over their head, and they're still able to get through life, those are some strong fucking people. Those are probably the strongest people I know. And that's the one thing that holds a lot of people back, especially, I know, man, We got work to do, man. But in a lot of instances, a lot of it comes down to mental health and just being open about it and just being like, yo, I'm not all right. Like, some shit is weighing on me. And if you don't have friends you can open up to like that, if you don't have family, like, you might just not have the right type of people in your life. But you are absolutely not alone in feeling like that. I have gone through it. Millions of people go through it. Your favorite podcaster or entertainer or wrestler or whatever, I would say probably 9 out of 10 of them have gone through some serious mental health struggles, especially when you're put in front of the camera and you feel like you gotta be on all the time or whatever. All that stuff that people go through, you don't need to go through it alone. So like I said, if there's one thing you take away from this episode, screw the Chris Danger shit, whatever, YouTube bullshit, blah, blah, nonsense. If you take one thing away, you got to talk about what's going on. And I don't think I can send it home any more directly than that. But you are 100% not alone. And I really hope that if you're going through something, you find the help that you need. Last one, Chris, before I let you go. How would you like to be remembered? Fondly, honestly. I want to be someone that just inspires other people to do the things that they want to do. I want to bring people enjoyment or entertainment so that they can just forget about the bullshit in their lives for a little bit, because we all know how crazy shit can get. So whether it's a 3-minute song or a 10-minute video or, you know, an hour long podcast or whatever it is. I want to be known as somebody that kind of just fucking went out and tried it. And, you know, not every attempt is going to be pretty. And I've made some really ugly ass attempts. But if I could help other people find that courage to kind of take that leap and do that same thing, then that would be pretty cool. I honestly want people to just look back and be like, he was great. Like, he was great. I just want to be great. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time, but I'm going to need you to just sit tight real quick while we kick it back over to Chris. Yes, back to good old me we go. Thank you, Chris, for talking to Chris and all the Chris stuff. That was, I don't want to say that was fun to do, but I think that was good to do. And I think that was right to do, because, you know, hopefully my story about mental health, and I continue to deal with it and, you know, being open about it and being willing to talk about it, hopefully that helps people and inspires people to possibly do the same. So whether you personally are going through something or not, I seriously hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it was going to be a little different than the other ones. Might not be a solo dolo episode for a while because we got a lot of really cool shit lined up. But I said earlier in the episode that I wanted to give a special shout out to all my patrons at the end of the episode. That's what we're going to do right here, right now. I currently have 81 patrons at the time of this recording. Thank you guys so much for hopping in so early on. Thank you guys so much for your support. Like I said, the new Dark Match episode, the new Watch Along, is also live now alongside this episode. And right now, I'm going to give a quick shout out to all 81 patrons. Here we go. Thank you so much to Cody, Matt, The Justrin, Beans, Andrew, Talon, YT Dragon, Jose, Shmidiora, Matt Patrick, Gregory Adams, Anthony Atrip, Lewis Rivers, Uncle Greggles, Amy Abrig, The Falcon Hunter, Brian Gollop, Austin Piper, Parkus, Luffy Kurosaki, Jacob, Kenneth, MG, Crip, Mike 2066, Ace, Brandon Peter, John Wampus Jr., The Peebles Champ, Ronald Peebles, Anthony Schwartz, Xavier, G-Man 360, The Alex Reeves, Justin Martinez, Chloe Aston, Caleb Henson, Jeffrey Davis, Comic Orange, No One of Particular Interest, Vladimir Komarov, American Dolphin, Tyler, John Crobot, Scott Kingsley, Jay Tata, The Doof Warrior, Leo, Cedric Farrell, Carolyn, wait, I gotta go to the next page, it's taking forever to load, Adrian Peterson, wait, not that one, Bullet Club, RG, Terrence Wilson, Jeremy, David, Cardwell, Baron Arnold, Chris, and Tunez, Celine Witchy, Nick Lotempio, Shane Dillon, Matthew Shantz, King Booger, Ray, Paul Jordan, Kurt Mack, Austin Hicks, Ballard, Margaret Ryder, Deontay Dandridge, R. McDavid, TB, Chase Brownwell, Patrick Unger, Dash Cat, Tom Gibbs, Ivan Yag... Oh, are you catching me with something? Oh, no, it's a real name. Ivan Yagolnikov. I'm so sorry if I messed that up. I probably did. Tomer Danino, Julie Webb, Michelle Fishman. Oh, hi, Michelle. Zay Bolt and Carlos Candado. Thank you guys so much for your support as patrons. Like I said, just it means the world that you guys are willing to reach into your own pocket to support this podcast and to support the show. I told you how charging and money stuff, like after doing free things for so many years, is such a weird feeling. And it's, you know, I want to make sure I do it right. So little by little, this Patreon is just going to get bigger and bigger. More stuff's going to come. More shows going to come. More content's going to come. So I greatly appreciate everybody who's been hopping on board so far. And that is going to do it for me. I have officially stepped into my own danger zone. I don't know what that means. I think I made it to second base with myself. I'm not really sure. Either way, I greatly appreciate the support. Greatly appreciate listening. I greatly appreciate listening to all you guys. I greatly appreciate all you guys listening to this episode. And I hope everybody's well. I hope everybody's doing well in their lives, feeling good, feeling positive about their futures. Because you get one shot at this, right? We all get one shot, and I hope everybody makes the most of their shot. And you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Also, get your shots. That's it for me. Thank you, guys. Love y'all. I'll catch you on the next one.